It is the Chris and Amy Show. Merry Christmas Eve to you. If you celebrate, good to have you with us today. We have a phone number. We didn't get it for Christmas. We've had it for like decades. 314-436-7900. Join the show today. And you know what? This is a here's a good free Christmas gift that you can give to somebody. The Audacy app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Just tell your friends, your family to download it. And they can listen to KMOX wherever they are. They can listen to it on their phone. They can use it in the car if they want to use it that way. Also, leave us a voice message directly from the app. If we're talking about something, a topic that you hate or you love or whatever, just record a message and send it to us if you have thoughts. We are also streaming live. You can look at us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. We are on Facebook and YouTube.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
On what is a busy, busy travel season, American Airlines suffering a nationwide outage. Apparently it's been fixed, but delays are happening. Also, the Blues beat the Red Wings last night. They're off until Friday. And yes, it is Christmas Eve. And I've got a gift for me, Brad Young. He is a partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young, soon to be something different.
Yeah, we're going to be changing the name here pretty soon. But
yeah.
But this is a gift that I forgot to wrap. I'm very sorry. Yeah,
well, I don't need wrapped. I don't need Amy and I exchanged cards yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we did our Christmas thing. So I should mention that we got each other the exact same thing.
No.
It was a Starbucks gift card.
Okay.
And but I gave her like $5 more than she gave me. No big deal. But also, she gave the gift card to me in a nice Christmas card, which actually is a really funny card. I love the card, and I can't believe she picked it out. But she gave it to me. The flap's still flapping. Didn't even close it, and didn't put my name on it.
Hmm.
She didn't even put my name on the card.
That that could have been picked up by anyone. I mean, at that point, without your name on it, it's not technically designated for you, I don't think.
It's almost like she found it in the back seat and said, oh, I'll give this to him.
I'll give this to him. Yeah, very well.
Unbelievable. But it's good to have Brad Young with us today. We've got a number of things that we do want to get into today. We'll have some legal stuff to get into for sure, because we have the expertise of an attorney with us. And so we like to get the legal side of plenty of events that are happening. We will have Bernie Miklas, who is the KMOX sports contributor. He joins us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so he'll be with us today. And, you know, it being Christmas Eve, there's football tomorrow. The Cardinals offseason is ongoing. And a lot of teams are making moves. The Cardinals, not so much, at least not yet. We don't know what they're going to do, if anything. But we will talk to Bernie and get his thoughts today. So this has to be, imagine that you are traveling today, that you are one of those people who decided, you know what, Christmas Eve, I'm going to head home. I'm going to head home and see mom and dad. Christmas Eve, it'll be fine. And you get to the airport this morning. And everything is delayed because American Airlines suffered some sort of outage, which they got corrected, I think, within about a half hour or so. But still, delays across the board.
Of course.
Can you imagine, first of all, traveling on a day like this? I don't think I've ever flown on Christmas Eve. I have flown on Christmas Day before, and that's a cakewalk. At least it was for me. But it just, imagine the stress of getting to the airport. You're trying to get somewhere. Your flight's delayed or it gets canceled. Mom's going to be PO'd. It's the worst.
I'm picturing that great scene from Home Alone where Catherine O'Hara is in the airport trying to get anything. And John Candy walks up with the Polka Kings and offers to drive them to Chicago.
Which, and he ad-libbed.
The entire,
he
had no script for the entire scene. Every word uttered by John Candy was ad-libbed.
He was brilliant.
And if you watch, because that's one of the movies we watch every year, I haven't watched it yet, but if you watch the interaction with John Candy and Catherine O'Hara, she breaks character ever so slightly, because when he's talking about, you know, our big hit, Polka, 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 and Catherine O'Hara just starts to smile, like, and then she's like, oh, I got to stay in character, but almost broke character.
I have not noticed that. I need to go back and watch it now.
It's great.
Do, I want to talk to you about, you know, Christmas traditions as we go on throughout the show here today. And if you have any odd traditions, if you're listening, we're going to talk to Stuart McMillan from the KMOX newsroom about them. He has identified some odd Christmas traditions historically. He does one that I think is super. I've never heard of it. I don't know if I want to spoil it, but it's maybe it's not as weird as I think it is, but I think it's super weird.
Yeah, let's let Stuart describe.
Yeah, he'll come in and talk about that today. So if you have one that you would like to share, something odd, something that most people don't do, let us know what it is at 314-436-7900. You could text it, but we'd really like your voice messages. Send us on the Odyssey app a voice message. It's super, super simple.
Absolutely. And you and I are both watching the text line because I love, this is one of the things I love about radio, is that you as the listener can be directly involved with the show. You can't do that in another type of a podcast. You can't do that on TV. But here, the listener can be a part of the show. And to me, that's unique about radio.
No, it totally is. I mean, there are live podcasts that happen, but live podcasts are essentially radio.
Right.
It's not anything new. It's just a different platform. I mean, we are in a podcast format too.
We are.
So it's, you know, it's very, very similar. So if you do have thoughts, you can you can send them to us. But I can imagine traveling on a day like this, I don't understand, unless you absolutely have to, no choice, travel on the day before Thanksgiving, the day before Christmas. And I don't think that December 24th is as bad as that Wednesday before Thanksgiving historically, but still, there just isn't any way you can get me to an airport.
No. And if you show up at the airport today and think it's not going to be crowded, I mean, that's like the guy who's bald, who's got the comb over, who says, you know, you really can't tell that I'm bald. Yeah. Yes, you can. As a bald man, everyone knows when you're bald. Everyone knows. So,
but nobody's judging you.
No. Oh no. I'm follically challenged. I'm in a protected group. But that idea of lying to yourself and saying, "Oh, I'm sure the crowds won't be that bad at the airport." Of course they will.
It's definitely gonna. How early do you need to get to the airport on Christmas Eve? Well, because I know they tell you an hour and a half typically. Yeah. Which a lot of people push that, and I do too. But on Christmas Eve, it's got to be
2.5, 3.
It would have to be.
Yeah. And then plus it's going to be worse today because even when there is a technical shutdown of American Airlines, that reverberates throughout the system.
Oh, yeah.
Like a slinky.
Yeah.
Meaning that the delays and the cancellations also impact other airlines because planes can't get where they're supposed to be. It affects other airlines downriver from that. So it really impacts the entire system.
And meanwhile, this is all happening as Christmas shopping, the holiday shopping season, is expected to do better than it did last year. The numbers from November and December for 2023 projected to be about 2.5 to 3.5% lower than what it is this year. So people are outspending what they did last season. I don't know if that says a ton about the economy. I know we look at those numbers all the time, how much people are spending, and people have been spending now for a few years. But during the pandemic, they were spending. They've been spending even more after that. And of course, what they spent their money on has changed a little bit over the last 3 or 4 years. But I'm not all that surprised that people are spending more now in 2024 than they did last year.
Well, to some extent, I think economists would tell you that spending reflects how you view your immediate future.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So at that point, folks are saying, you know, I've got a good paying job. Unemployment is very low. I'm not concerned about my job. I can go out and spend some money at Christmas. I think that's really what that reflects.
The projection is somewhere between $979 billion and $989 billion. Mm. Is what people are going to spend during this holiday season. That includes me because it's not over. Today, on Christmas Eve, I will finish the shopping that I have. Now, I just sat here and told you how nuts I am or how much I will not go to the airport on Christmas Eve, but I'm the dummy who's going to go to the mall on Christmas Eve.
You and all the other guys. I mean, it's mostly guys that are doing the Christmas shopping today.
Do you know what it's going to be like at that Brentwood Promenade?
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
I wish I lived close enough to walk to it. Because that is the worst parking lot probably in America.
It's brutal.
Getting in and out?
It's brutal.
Oh,
I know.
There are what? Actually, four different points of entry and exit? And it's still impossible to get out of.
You can't. Anywhere you exit or go out of that Brentwood Promenade.
Awful.
It's terrible. Every way. Whether you're getting dumped on Brentwood, whether you're trying to go out by Hanley, every one of those exits are awful.
You're an attorney. Can we arrest and jail the person who designed it?
I think that's what's called architectural malpractice. So while I don't know that it could be a criminal charge, I think it absolutely could be a civil charge.
Okay, so...
You know, all the pain and suffering. Think about all the pain and suffering that you're having to endure, Chris.
Me, personally.
On Christmas Eve, all because that guy or gal who designed that parking lot failed to properly allow for egress and ingress.
Can I start a class action?
Yeah, I think
I'd like to get everybody involved.
Yeah, class action, absolutely. And then do a GoFundMe, because when it comes to litigation, the most important thing, remember, is that the lawyer gets paid. That's the most important part.
Don't they almost always?
Yeah, that's why it's the most important part.
Yeah, well, have you ever done any pro bono work?
Oh, sure. Okay. I do a lot of work for churches.
What is it? Is there a reason to do it other than just out of the kindness of your, of your own self?
Well, there's two reasons. There's one that's the braggadocious reason. Okay.
You could tell people you've done it.
You go, and you can brag about all the pro bono work that you do. And then
it's performative charity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the kind that I do, which is behind the scenes. I don't tell anybody. I do it because I want to give back.
See, you're a nice man.
Despite what people say, right?
I've never heard anybody say anything bad about you. That's Brad Young.
Well, the day's not over.
That is Brad Young with Harris, Dowell, Fisher, and Young. He's the Young in that string of names. And he is with me today. Amy Marks-Kors is out. She is celebrating Christmas Eve, and so are you with us. 314-436-7900. Brad Young and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
It's beginning to look a lot like...
Oh, my guy, Buble. It's Christmas Eve here on KMOX and everywhere. So welcome to the show if you've just now tuned in. And Merry Christmas Eve to you. Brad Young is sitting in for Amy Marks-Kors today. We asked your strange holiday Christmas traditions.
Oh, we got a good one here.
Yeah, we've got a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
One here from a 636 says, my family has a different tradition. We just usually get drunk and fist fight. I would not recommend that.
No, not
unless there's money changing hands, like it's a contest.
Yeah. Or actually, it could be the result of a drinking contest. And then, of course, inevitably, every drinking contest ends with a fight.
Have you ever had a Christmas or a holiday family party where members of the family got into a real fight, a real screaming argument?
I had one time, yes, this happened. My wife had catered, actually it was a Thanksgiving meal. She had catered it out of town to a cabin in the woods and invited all of our relatives. And one of my relatives got really mad and after some yelling and screaming, stormed out and said, we're leaving, and stormed out. But there was no alcohol involved.
Oh.
But yeah, that happened one time.
A sober fight.
I can't. Other than that, that's about it. How about you?
I honestly can't remember if that's ever happened in my family, but I'm thinking of, have you seen the show The Bear?
You know, a lot of people tell me about the show. I've never seen it, but I've got several folks that say, Brad, that's a great show.
It is a very, very good show. And there is one episode from, I think it was last season, not this most recent, but the one before it. Where the family's together for Christmas, and the entire episode is just, I don't have a lot of anxiety. Some things will give it to me sometimes. That episode, It was just, dude, my anxiety was at a 10.
What was causing the anxiety?
Oh, the fighting. The fighting and the arguing and the shouting. And it was intense. One of the more intense episodes of TV I've seen. Mm. So I would recommend to anybody, watch The Bear. And then when you get to that Christmas episode.
Take Zoloft?
Oh, woo. Man, it's really something.
Okay.
It's very, very good. Here's one that says, I have two weird Christmas traditions. One, not mine, but I heard about a family that every year hangs a new ornament on their tree that represents something memorable from the past year. That's not so odd. One time, though, it was their kid's retainer when he no longer had to wear it. They put the retainer on the tree. Okay.
Well, there's a Nate Bargatze Christmas special that just aired a couple of days ago.
I heard about the new one. I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. But he has a stand-up special too, I think.
He does. But this Christmas show was produced by Lorne Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing this Christmas scene. It's the manger scene with the birth of Christ, and Nate Bargatze is an angel. And he shows up and he's predicting how we will be celebrating Christmas in the future. And he says, and we will acknowledge the birth of Christ with a pine tree. And Joseph says, Sir Angel, what does a pine tree have to do with the birth of Christ? And Nate Bargatze deadpans, nothing. So you look at this and you say, retainer has nothing to do with Christmas, but I guess it does represent something memorable. You got rid of it.
Speaking of the pine tree, that same texter said the second tradition is they always sweep up the dropped needles from the tree and they make little fragrant pillows that they put by the bed or the dresser so that they can smell it because the pine smell lasts well into the new year. I've never even thought to do that.
No, I've not thought to do it. But if you're going to do that, here's one suggestion. If you're going to put it by your bed, that's fine. If you put it on your bed, you are going to die because those needles.
Oh, they're sharp.
Those are like hypodermic needles. They would go through whatever you put it in and stab you in your sleep. So, yeah, you need to put it next to the bed, but not on the bed.
Here's a parking tip. We were talking about the Brentwood Promenade, yes. And somebody called in to let us know that there is a secret entrance and exit. No, there isn't. I know all the exits. I know all the entrances, and I know how bad every single one of them is.
The only one that I know is off of Brentwood.
Yeah, so the little side one.
Little side street. I think it's like Rose Street or something like that. But you go in there.
Right across from like where Whole Foods is.
Yes.
Yeah, I know about that one.
An REI.
Yeah, yeah. If you think that I don't know about that, of course I know about that. That one sucks too.
It does, but that's not the best one. That's the best there is.
So there's that one. And then this person says that when they park, they think about their exit strategy. On windy days, I park facing into the wind along with the cars around me so the wind does not catch the door and my car does not hit the one next to me. You know, I've never thought to do that. I just have good door control, I guess.
Well, that's a smart parker right there.
I bet they
always stay within the lines, too, which I'm doubting that Chris Ranji does.
I am militant
about
staying in the lines.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so if somebody if somebody parks over the line into to the lane that I'm going to park in, I will get as close to that car as I possibly can, just so that I'm not over shifted into the lane on the other side.
Yeah.
And if they have trouble getting back into their car, I don't care. It's not my problem.
It's your problem because you are a terrible parker.
Not me, it's
them. No, that's what I'm saying. The person who's parked on the line, I have no sympathy for you.
Oh,
because
dude,
you can't park your vehicle.
I am the best parker in the world,
good.
Probably.
Excellent.
I'm the Michael Jordan of parking.
Really?
Yeah.
So does that mean your tongue is out when you're parking the car? Is that what that means?
Oh, and then I nail it every time.
Nail it every time.
This is a complete sidebar. I saw it was a quote from the guy who drafted Michael Jordan, and at the time they drafted him, he said, well, there was no like 7 foot, something to the, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, You know, he needed a center. There's no 7-foot guy out there, so this guy's pretty good at defense. We don't expect him to change the entire course of the franchise. And he turned into the best player in the history of the game. I think that's
changed
so
the,
great.
The course of the entire sport. Yeah.
It really did.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I mean, with you had Larry Bird and Magic, and they were a lot of interest in the two of them and their rivalry, but Michael just he took it to another level by a lot.
Exactly.
Brad Young is with me. I'm Chris Ranji. At the bottom of the hour, after the news, we're going to talk to Stacey Lynn from CBS News. She is covering the Matt Gaetz situation. The ethics report, apparently there's a lot of stuff in it that is problematic. And so we're going to talk to Stacey, who is covering that situation and what will happen next. We will talk to Bernie Miklas, as I mentioned, and we still want to hear from you. Let us know what your holiday traditions are, if they are weird, if you got any weird holiday traditions. And of course, I did ask because of the texter earlier who said they get drunk and fight at their holiday parties. You ever had a good blowout? I would love to know. I would love to know what your holiday party blowout was, yes. Why it happened. You don't have to give names. But tell us how it all went down. I love stuff like that because it doesn't happen to my family. So I can just watch and I can enjoy your misery. Yeah. 314-436-7900. Text us or leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Brad Young, Chris Ranji, KMOX.
It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring.
It's a Chris and Amy show on KMOX. Amy Marks-Kors is out. I'm Chris Ranji. Joining me today is Brad Young from Harris Dowell Fisher and Young with you until 1 o'clock. And then Hancock and Kelly are filling in for the Dave Glover show today. We go to the Quiver River Electric guest line this morning. We've been following the Matt Gaetz situation as the House ethics report is apparently pretty damaging, at least to him, and we'll see what the future holds for him. But covering the story from CBS News is correspondent Stacey Lynn, who is with us now on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Good morning, Stacey. How are you?
Good morning to you both.
Okay, so what is the latest today on this situation and what happens next?
Yeah, it's a bombshell report for everyone reading it. He has vehemently denied all these allegations. This investigation has been going on for about a year now, and the report that he tried to fight to keep under wraps and not come out did come out, and it showed substantial evidence that he had sex with a 17-year-old back in 2017, violating Florida's statutory rape law. It also concluded he paid for sex on the regular, used several drugs, including ecstasy and cocaine, and accepted improper gifts, including some trips to the Caribbean. The committee is accusing him of violating House rules and state and federal laws. And this was all while he was a member of Congress. As you know, he no longer is a member of Congress. And all this coming out, all these allegations, when President-elect Trump had put his name out to be his next attorney general. Of course, he has withdrawn his name from that after the allegations caused a whole lot of backlash. But now, like you said, Chris, the future of his political future, if anything, is kind of in limbo right now. And the future of the Republican Party, as originally a lot of the Republican Party members were fighting to keep this report under wraps, and a couple deflected and ended up siding with the committee's Democrats that voted to, in fact, release the report.
Stacey, this is Brad Young. And as I have been looking at this report, does this put pressure on federal authorities or state authorities to reopen investigations? Because it's been publicly reported that the Justice Department passed on investigating or charging Matt Gaetz, and there are some statute limitations under Florida law with regard to some of these allegations. But do you think this puts pressure on the Justice Department to reopen the investigation into whether any charges could be brought?
I mean, it may, but like you said, in Florida, of course, the limitations laws are in place, so those will not go back. And so basically what most are saying is the findings that this committee found in this report really don't hold much legal weight, I guess, unless the Justice Department decides to hop back in. I think the biggest weight it has is his future in politics. He's no longer a member of Congress. Gates has kind of floated this idea around of running for office again, either for Senator Marco Rubio's seat in Florida, even Florida governor in 2026. And so that puts that kind of in limbo where his political future goes from there, even though several allies of President-elect Donald Trump are urging him stay in this political game, and they're not telling him to back out as he completely denies these allegations.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, with us on KMOX. And that's what I think the interesting aspect of this is that if this were 20 years ago, his political career would pretty much be over. And I don't think there'd be much of a debate about that. But the environment is different now, where he still could have a rebound here. Is that what the talk is, that beyond what you've heard or what you just mentioned, that there is a very good possibility that his political career can be revived?
For sure. I mean, as we've seen in the past couple of years, reputation doesn't really hold as much weight as it used to back in the day. So a lot of these lawmakers that are getting, you know, voted into office are, you know, might have a little rap sheet for them, and they're still getting voted in. They're still getting the support. So it's kind of interesting turn of events in the past couple of years, how people can turn a blind eye on things as big as these allegations, which are pretty damning.
So, Stacey, what happens now? I mean, these revelations have come out. Now these are all public. At this point, is there any further activities by the House of Representatives in terms of this report? Any additional information, any additional evidence, or is anything else going to be forthcoming now that the report itself has been released?
I mean, so far, the Justice Department hasn't said that they are going to charge him in any way. And they're just kind of releasing the details of the report. He still repeatedly denies the wrongdoing. He was tweeting this morning about that as well. He even made comments acknowledging that he had some embarrassing little blips in his past when it came to drug use and things like that, saying that it's just kind of normal. But as we kind of await to see what the DOJ will do, they haven't indicated that it will lead to any charges.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News correspondent, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for visiting with us here on KMOX.
My pleasure. Happy holidays to you guys.
Same to you. That is Stacey Lynn, anchor and reporter with CBS News Radio. You hear her on KMOX all the time during the top and bottom of the hour news. So this is a really, I mean, I don't know what to think of it. And I know the environment is different. The political environment is different. And I think, like I said, 20 years ago, he's probably cooked as far as being a viable congressional candidate or governor, whatever he decides to be in the future. But now, I don't know how many people care about it, especially if they vote Republican, because it's what he is. I'm not sure that they care about that anymore.
Well, I think it's wholly dependent on who the individual is. Let me give you an example. Eric Greitens tried to make a comeback in Missouri.
Yeah.
He was very popular.
Yeah.
He's telegenic. He looks good. He's got a military background, Navy SEAL, all of that. He's got all the credentials. But after his scandal, he didn't even make a blip when he tried to come back and run for office in Missouri. So I think what that tells us is that I always think it's difficult and problematic to look at something that happens to Donald Trump and then to make applications outside of him. Because clearly, nobody cares what Trump does, and he's very, very popular. But I don't know that that applies to someone like Gates, who does not have the same cult of personality, as it were, that Donald Trump has. So I don't know that that's going to translate to some of these other individuals.
But Gates has certainly tried to coattail that. Has he been effective in any way? I feel like he has been at least somewhat effective.
Well, as far as I can tell, the only thing that he was effective at was getting Donald Trump to appoint him to be the AG. Okay. And again, that came from Trump himself. You take Trump out of the equation, I don't know that Matt Gates has the charisma or has the political support to move forward when these allegations are out there and they're never going to go away.
Yeah, and I imagine that a lot of Republicans probably don't like him.
Yeah.
As much as we talk about both parties and there are crazy people in each of the parties, I think we can acknowledge that sometimes there's a guy or a person that is just, even though they're on your team, is just so insane. Or, and I'm not saying he's crazy, because I don't know if that's what it is, but the behavior is, you know, the person that he presents to the public is crazy. And this ethics report is pretty bad. I would think that there are a good number of Republicans who just don't want him around.
Yeah, let me, and I'm one of them. I mean, I'm a very strong conservative. I did not want him
in
this position.
I mean, more in Congress, but I
did not want him in this position either. But let me just quickly compare and contrast. You know, when you look at Brett Kavanaugh and what he had to go through, a lot of that stuff was just brought up on the eve of his nomination to the Supreme Court. And at that point, it lacked legitimacy because it was decades old and that no one had heard of it until literally the day of the confirmation. We used to call that being borked, you know, because Justice Bork, Robert Bork, who did not make it because of things that were dragged up. But here with Matt Gaetz, this is stuff that's been around. We've all heard this before he was nominated for anything. So this has a greater sense of legitimacy because it's not something that was just brought up to scuttle a nomination.
I wonder if it because he operates in Florida, if that's different. And Florida is an odd state politically in a lot of ways. It's a very different state. And I wonder if that works in his favor.
Boy, I guess only time will truly tell.
Yeah.
I tend to think that he doesn't have the charisma to carry on.
He's just
a guy, and he's out there, and he's very much of an attack dog type personality.
Yes.
All right. But I don't know that he has the personal charisma to overcome something like having sex with underage with minors. Yeah, I don't think he has the charisma to overcome.
I think Trump has a little attack dog in him, maybe a lot, but there's another side of him that is charismatic and engaging for a lot of people.
True.
And I understand why a person would be into him. I get it. Matt Gaetz doesn't have that.
He doesn't.
You're right. He's more off-putting than anything else.
And that's why I don't think that his political career has legs, because he does not have that charisma to carry the day.
So what do you do then if you're him?
Oh, he's going to go work for a think tank. He's going to work for a political action committee. He's probably good at raising money. He might go on Newsmax. I mean, he's got options.
Oh, yeah. He could be a contributor on Newsmax or Fox or something.
Yeah, he's got lots of options, but I don't think politics is one of them.
That's Brad Young. I'm Chris Ranji, 314-436-7900. Don't forget, get that Odyssey app where you can listen to the show live. Download it for free, and you can take us wherever you go. Also, if you're at home and you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play KMOX, and Alexa will start playing KMOX in your house. Isn't that great?
As it does at my house every single day.
And you could be doing Christmas Eve chores, getting the house ready for the people coming over tomorrow that you don't really want to see. Well, you can, and some of them you want to see, but there are some clearly you don't want to invite. But you can be listening to KMOX. You could be listening to Brad Young and Chris Ranji. We'll
Absolutely.
Get you through the day.
Every day.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
With Chris and Amy.
Hey, Brad, are you waiting for an Amazon package?
I hope not.
You hope not?
I hope not, because I think there's some shipping delays going on.
Well, there are some shipping delays, and it's also very possible that your package was dumped into the woods near Lakeville, Massachusetts.
Oh, no.
You didn't hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so police in Lakeville say that a delivery driver for Amazon ditched approximately 80 Amazon packages in the woods just days before Christmas. It happened on December 22nd, or at least the packages were discovered by a sheriff on December 22nd who noticed there were these things on the side of the road, and he investigated and realized what it was. And it turned out the delivery driver says that he was just stressed.
Wow. So you go from porch pirates to package dumpers.
Yeah. Well, this has happened more than once.
Really?
Yeah, this happened, was it last year or early this year, somebody dumped a ton. There was a delivery driver dumped a ton of packages on the side of the road because he just couldn't handle the volume of it. This is exactly what Newman did.
Hello, Newman.
He had that storage closet where he was dumping all the mail that he didn't want to deliver.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah, I do. It's the same thing. And this year, this time of year, these guys are under a lot of stress.
I would love to know what the... I have a friend who's a postal worker now. He's a mailman. I need to ask him what the stress level is like. But there's a certain satisfaction when you do your job and you deliver the last thing, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But like Newman said, the mail never stops and it just keeps coming and coming. And it's just there's a package and another package and 10 more packages.
Like Lucille Ball on the chocolate conveyor belt line. It just doesn't stop.
I've seen that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think everybody's seen it.
Everybody's seen that.
But I wonder if people who are in delivery, if they feel like the job, there's not that satisfaction like, I did a good day's work today. If it just feels like it mounts and it mounts and it mounts and you've never cleared the slate,
right?
They must feel that way.
Oh, they have to. Yeah, they have to because the pressure is enormous, particularly this time of year. I mean, this is the apex. This is the apex. But another show, or rather another have you seen this, is do you know how the Santa tracker from NORAD idea got started?
Because people kept seeing this mysterious object in the sky.
No, that's just
Christmas
in New Jersey.
Eve.
That's in New Jersey. No,
oh, Jersey?
Those are called drones.
Drones.
In New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
But no, this is, it's interesting. I am a military tech nut. I read everything I can about military technology. And so NORAD in 1955 got a call from a boy asking, can you confirm that Santa Claus is going to be coming this year? And NORAD said, they said, oh, sure, we'll do it. And then what happened, this is according to the Associated Press, what happened then was that that NORAD started using that as a morale booster during the Cold War to have their people come in. They volunteer. They're not getting paid. They come in just to track Santa. And now it's gotten so popular that television stations across the country run the live feed from NORAD, and over 100,000 phone calls come in on New Year's Eve from kids asking about what's the exact location of Santa. And this all grew out of just one kid's phone call in 1955.
He probably called a million times in a row, and they said, we got to do something about this kid. This kid just will not stop.
Yeah.
He's relentless.
Somebody talk. Colonel, can you talk to this guy?
Did you know, and by the way, we're talking about Santa and mail. Did you know that there's an actual, so when kids mail Santa letters, that the post office opens them, they open them, they remove any personal information, and there is a website that you can go to called Operation Santa. It is USPSOperationSanta.com. And they will have letters that kids have written to Santa Claus.
Hmm.
So they actually go through the volumes, like the tons and tons of mail they get.
And I'm sure there's tons. But so what would they find what would we find from an 8-year-old Chris Ranji writing to Santa? What would we see if we had that Santa letter?
There's probably a letter out there that says, yo, you don't get me that NES, I'm coming to the North Pole, and I will blanking end you. I think I wrote just exactly that.
Well, that's a little harsh for Santa. You were on the naughty list, buddy, for like a decade that letter.
Oh, dude, probably forever, actually. Hey, did you see the wharf in Santa Cruz, California?
Yes, it's now
collapsed into the water?
It is now a floating wharf.
Three people were on the wharf at the time. There apparently were inspectors or construction workers who were working on this renovation. It was something like a $4 million renovation when the Santa Cruz Wharf, that building that is at mm-hmm. the end of it, it's sort yes. of iconic. You have seen it before in TVs
yes.
or movies if you haven't been there for yourself. And the whole thing just collapsed into the water. And there were people closer to shore, closer to land, who were on the pier at the time, and they were fishing. And I saw an interview of one of them who was saying, we heard this cracking, and we thought, it's probably not that big of a deal. And the next thing you know, all of those people, or those three people, and that entire wharf just ended up in the ocean. That would be terrifying.
It would be terrifying because that sound of crackling wood, once all the wood started collapsing, the sound itself would be terrifying. But then if you imagine that, if you're picturing that wharf goes way out into the water.
Yeah.
So if you're three quarters of the way out there, I mean, you're hustling back like Indiana Jones crossing the rope bridge.
I think that would be pretty cool.
You're running. You're booking to get off of that.
Yeah, I think about all the movies where there is a person running down a wooden pier that's being, I don't know, like Godzilla's coming up behind him and destroying it. That would be fun.
Yeah, or Shrek with the dragon and the bridge is on fire. I mean, it's iconic scene where you're running and the bridge is collapsing, and yet you would have lived that if you had been on that bridge.
Do you know that I have not ever seen Shrek?
No.
It's true.
You have not seen Shrek?
No.
Well, let me save you. Watch the first one, skip the rest.
Okay.
That's easy.
It's Eddie Murphy, right?
Yes, it is.
And Mike Myers?
Of course. He's a genius.
Yeah, I will watch it. Text message says, our post office has a shortage of sorters of the mail, not delivery people. Well, we need more sorters. Get the sorters out there to sort the mail. Help out the delivery people.
Mm.
Brad Young.
They need all the help they can get.
Yes,
this
they
time
can.
Of year.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, especially
absolutely.
Now. That's Brad Young. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, Stuart McMillan from the KMOX newsroom. He has some strange holiday traditions that he wants to tell us about. One of them I've heard of and is weird, and I'll let him tell you when we come back on KMOX.